There's bluegrass, and then there's bluegrass. Take a listen to this. That's Blue Highway's three-fingered Jack from the group's latest CD, Marble Town. It's topping the bluegrass charts and was just nominated for a Grammy. Two members of Blue Highway are with us today from member station WPLN in Nashville. Guitarist Tim Stafford founded the band, and Rob Ikes is the band's dobro player. Welcome, gentlemen, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, it's a wonderful day.
So how do you play so fast and so tight?
Years and years of...
messing up.
Yeah.
Can you guys start us off with a little Christmas tune today?
You bet. I'd be happy to. How about a little Mel Torme on the dobro?
Love
That's
it.
That's what he had in mind.
That's Tim Stafford and Rob Ikes of Blue Highway playing the Christmas song for us today. Thank you.
You betcha.
So when I talk to the hardcore bluegrass fans around here, and we have a few, including our engineer today, they are just very excited about you guys. They say you're incredible musicians, that you can sing, and that you even write a lot of your own songs. They make it sound like that's really unusual for a bluegrass band.
Well, it is, and I'm really proud of the band's writing, and this is Rob speaking, and I write instrumental stuff, but we got some great lyrical writers in the band. To me, it lends us a little more of a contemporary sound. We have the traditional sound. I mean, when you hear these guys sing and you hear the harmonies, it's definitely bluegrass, but a lot of our songs might deal with more contemporary things than cabins or such like that.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys self-consciously trying to break with tradition when you're writing your own music?
I don't think so. I think that we actually have a really strong appreciation for tradition, and you have to in bluegrass music. I mean, you can't, it's such a powerfully tradition-oriented music that you have to be conscious of that. And we all love Flat and Scruggs and Bill Monroe and the Stanley Brothers, especially, and what they represent in the music. And it definitely comes out in what we do, but I think that, you know, we can't pretend that we didn't grow up listening to the Beatles and all these groups, you know, because I certainly did, and they had a big impact in particular on my writing and what I do. Just the same way you wouldn't expect Bill Monroe to, you know, say that he wasn't influenced by string band music, fiddle music, or the blues.
Yeah, jazz.
Or jazz.
Would you mind taking us through a song from your new CD and sort of talk about the process of writing and then recording it?
Sure. Wild Bill is one that I started writing in California, I don't guess it was about 97 when we were out there for the Strawberry Music Festival. Mm-hmm. And I remember us sitting around on a bed and I came up with this tune in between shows. And I just read a book on Wild Bill Hickok and I wanted to write a song about him. So I got the first phrase. And I think I got the chorus that weekend too. And then I didn't finish it. Took like 5 or 6 years to finish it.
Well, yeah, I didn't realize you started it that long ago.
Yeah, yeah. And then So it took me forever, and I had it was an epic poem. It was Gilgamesh. I mean, it had like 37 verses, so I had to narrow it down to like 10 or so.
And, now, we should alert our listeners to not only can you write music, you also, what, have a Ph.D. in history?
Well, I worked on a Ph.D. in history. I finished a coursework, but I never finished a dissertation, so.
Like all good musicians, he didn't finish college.
So finish telling me the story of Wild Bill.
It's pretty much the accurate story of his life, except for one thing. I had to make his dad a Baptist preacher because that phrase better than deacon. But I'll admit that up front now, okay?
Can we hear a little bit?
I don't know if I can remember it. Let's see. I can do a little bit of it. Let's see. The youngest son of a Baptist preacher man. His mama said, don't take up the gun, or you're always on the run. Don't go, James, she cried, and he told her that he wouldn't, but he lied. I'm looking for my fortune, and it ain't in Illinois, but they say that farther west it's open wide. So it started off across the endless plains, and he soon became a jack of every trade. Some men are born, not made.
Now, both of you have done some solo work in addition to the band. Rob, you even did a whole album of jazz. Was that much of a stretch from bluegrass?
Yes and no. I mean, I wanted to put the dobro in a jazz band, so, you know, I got drums, a saxophone, piano, and bass, and dobro, a five-piece band. And I just think the dobro is one of those instruments that works in a lot of different atmospheres, you know, a lot of different surroundings. It's just something real vocal about the slide instrument that the tone of it can work in a lot of different musics. But to me, I mean, I've always said I love Ray Charles and I love Ralph Stanley. To me, it's the same thing. You know, they make you feel a certain way, or they sing the lyric a certain way. I mean, Merle Haggard is just one of my favorites also. And Bill Monroe once said, if you can play bluegrass well, you can play anything. And I really think there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of soloing going on, kind of similar to a jazz band where you're trading solos. And then, you know, vocally, the harmonies are just incredible. I mean, when you hear some good bluegrass singing, it'll just, you know, it'll set you on fire. I mean, there's nothing like it.
Can you give us just a little song on the dobro?
Yeah, you bet. Let's see.
Now, I've read somewhere that one of the things that gives you great pleasure is the process of backing up vocals. What is the challenge for a dobro player when you are working with singers?
The challenge is I always just try to support the song as best I can. When I hear a singer say a word, it paints a picture in my head, and I try to support what the singer just sang about. And so I think that's sort of one of my main goals, is figuring out all my choices of notes. It's like, you know, it's like a palette, you know, of colors to choose from. And I think, you know, the longer I've been playing, the more notes I have, the more colors I have to choose from.
She said, what about our babies? Don't you remember the day? Doctor gave them to you, and you Here tears of joy fell on their face. You should have thought of their feelings, 'cause it's not just you and me alone. What am I gonna say to our angels when they wake and ask why Dad's not coming home? Then her tears fell on Missouri like rain pouring down.
That song really is sad.
Yeah, we played in Knoxville a couple of weeks ago at the Tennessee Theater, and Sean was introducing that song, and I saw this lady in the front row kind of sit up straight and look at her daughter like, oh no, here it comes.
Aww.
And she was bawling, you know, by the first verse. So, yeah, it's a powerful song. Sean's a great writer.
Not only do you back up vocals in a haunting way, at times I've heard listening to some of your CDs in preparation for this interview where the dobro just becomes a voice in a song. And there's one in particular that I'm going to ask you to take us out on that really touched me. And it's from your gospel album, your first gospel album, Wondrous Love.
Yeah.
Would you mind taking us out on the old rugged cross?
Not at all. I'd be happy to.
Well, before you play it, I guess I should say we have been talking with Rob Ikes and Tim Stafford. Blue Highway is the name of the band. Their most recent CD is Marble Town. They've been speaking to us from WPLN in Nashville. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks a lot, Debbie.
Thanks, Debbie. Thank you.
To hear more from Blue Highway, go to our website, npr.org. Happy holidays from All Things Considered and NPR News. I'm Debbie Elliott.